Well, it's been a great start to the year, hasn't it?
We've had some sensational games.
Six rounds of footy. Frank's the only team to not have the bye yet. And also Collingwood, who are having the bye this weekend, which has caused some controversy to our got a new listener base. And it's all Collingwood supporters at the moment. They're not happy with AFL Victoria after giving the Collingwood VFL side a bye. When Collingwood play tonight over in West Coast, it could have been a good opportunity for the Collingwood faithful, who have been getting out there in numbers, to even out more. If the VFL promoted the Collingwood games a lot better, you'd actually get bigger crowds, because one of the games got changed and the Collingwood people weren't even aware of it, and they would have actually gone. So,
how many of them have turned up to the ground and turned around and gone home?
Oh, at Vizzy Park, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know.
I reckon a few.
Yeah, there would be, for sure. Yeah. Totally agree.
Because the place is all locked up when we get there.
Yep.
I mean, there's spectators milling around, ready to get in. They don't want to stand outside and chat amongst themselves. Let's face it, the Collingwood supporters. We'd want to talk to them. And, it wouldn't be surprised if they've turned around and gone home.
We've got some selection news. We'll go through the round seven teams. And we've got three guests joining us this morning, so we won't have that much time for a bit of a chinwag, Jimbo, because we've got Gary Ayres joining us, we've got Simon Atkins from Werribee joining us, and also Adrian Dunn, who's been doing a sterling job with the VFL record so far this year, and we'll get him on for his thoughts of the first six games of the season, and really just get him on to talk about the VFL record, because he does do such a great job with it. He's been doing it for many years. And,
and we're impressed every week.
Oh, the feedback we've been getting, but this year in particular, they've really gone the extra mile in terms of providing up-to-date interviews and information on players, and the TAC Cup now is on the same. It's in the same record, so it's
longer. It's not upside down.
You have to change your world pattern just to read it.
It was a good idea having it upside down, but it was confusing sometimes.
Well, it was easier for us when we had the Calder Cannons game on before the Coburg game that we broadcast a couple of weeks ago. That was quite handy there, the Calder Cannons and Geelong Falcons.
Yeah, although some of those numbers and figures I don't think quite added up.
Oh, no. Well,
there was a few guys that looked like about 6'4", and they were in there as about 175 centimetres and that sort of thing.
Probably when they were 16. They've just grown a lot in the last...
20 centimetres in a couple of weeks.
Got some AFL selection news as well with a former VFL player, Aaron Cornelius, making his debut this weekend for the Brisbane Lions. And also, we have to put a real big plaudit out to Bo Marston, who for many years has been plying his trade in the VFL, and there's plenty of Box Hill fans that be impressed by his 2009 form, that's for sure. And last week, against the Casey Scorpions, he was fantastic. Yep. He was one player that kept going the full four quarters, and his penetrating kicks were basically what kept Box Hill in it up to three-quarter time, and then they had the legs in the last quarter to run over the Scorpions. So it was a good performance by Box Hill last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
15 points didn't really reflect the margin. I thought they really did dominate that final quarter when it was up for grabs.
Yep, first time in 10 outings between the two teams that either team has won at their opposition ground.
Exactly.
So that's a big hoodoo busted there.
And it's a big weekend for the Boxall Hawks. We'll start off with that, Jimbo, because we like to give as much promotion to the VFL. It's the Eastlink Cup this afternoon between the Box Hill and Frankston sides. It's now the annual Eastlink Cup, obviously Eastlink combining both of those two suburbs now. So the kickoff is 1 o'clock. It is the ABC game. There'll be appearance from Hawthorn AFL players, children's entertainment, and free Eastlink footy giveaways. So make sure you get there early and support both Box Hill and Frankston, and obviously it's at Box Hill City Oval, which is, if you're not too sure where it is, it's on the corner of Middlesbrough and Whitehorse Roads.
Yep.
So it's only entry by gold donation, and all that money we donated to the Life Education Victoria, and Eastlink opened on June 29 last year. We've driven on it many times, has saved us plenty of time getting to the VFL venues this year, Jim.
That's right. Just be careful when you park your car and walk across that road. It can be a bit treacherous.
Well, you're talking about Middlesbrough Road. I'm talking about Eastlink, the fine.
Yes, but when you park your car, because there's not much parking on the Box Hill ground side of the road, but plenty of parking on the opposite side of the road, but it's a bit of a an adventure trying to get across the road without causing too many problems for motorists.
And there is still plenty of talk coming out of the AFL headquarters in relation to what's happening with the VFL and the future plans. So, yeah, we'll have a bit of a chat about that and where the future of it's actually going. So it's good to see the AFL, just a quote coming out of here, the AFL believed the Victorian Football League had a future and was a major investor in it. So we'll be having a bit of a chat here because the issue of alignments between AFL clubs and VFL affiliates was a matter for Football Victoria and the shifting unions were to be discouraged. So that's obviously looking to the future that it's going to be important for AFL and its Melbourne-based clubs to really start building on those alignments and making it quite good. They've been looking at it for over a two-year period at a second-tier competition, so we'll see what happens there. I don't know if Tasmania have made the right move, jumping ship when they have, because they could have been involved in something that could really change the game, and to try and pick up a team again would just dismantle what they're doing with the State League. So we'll be interested to see what happens because, you know, AFL Queensland is sometimes regarded as not a strong competition, so you might see the Gold Coast or West Sydney getting involved as well. I'm sure the Sydney Swans would like to have a team base. They did trial that with Port Melbourne many years ago, which was successful in the fact that Port Melbourne had access to players, but probably financially and, you know, was not well regarded at the Sydney-based, was it, that alignment with Port Melbourne?
It's pretty hard getting those players to fly interstate. Some of them were flying in the morning of the game, which was rather tiring for them. But some of them went on to, did play for the Sydney Swans, which is great. One of them was Ty Keneally, who we saw plenty of times running around for Port Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was a very successful Sydney player over many years. Unfortunately, he's now in Ireland, I suppose.
Now, round six of the VFL has drawn the curtains on a VFL career of Luke Collins, former Werribee-listed player. We might have to ask Simon Atkins about Luke, but...
Did he walk or did he...
That's what I'm saying here, yeah. He was actually part of the leadership team, which is interesting, but Collins was dropped after round three, and maybe there's been some sort of disagreement there, but he's quit the Dolphins, so we'll see... I'm not too sure if you'll end up in another VFL club or you might take some time off. You'll end up playing football in a different league. So there'll probably be some Mornington Peninsula football clubs looking into Luke Collins because he would be a very handy recruit. Keeps his head over the football and a bit of a utility, can play in many different positions. And I would have thought watching him play in the early part of the season, he would have still had some football to go. So... what we'll do, because we always run so tight for time here, Jim, we'll quickly go through some of the round six results. We might take an ad break and get our first guest on. I think it'll be Gary Ayres this morning at 9:15, am I right?
Yep.
And then we'll have Simon Atkins at about 9:40, and then we'll speak to Adrian Dunn around 10:00. You are tuned into the Saturday morning VFL football show here with Kane and Jim, and Jim's hopping about out in and out of the studio. So we'll kick off the round six results here quickly in case you missed anything there from last weekend in the VFL. It was a curtain raiser down at Geelong once again. And it was the Roosters 17-9-111 defeating Geelong 9-9-63. A strong performance by North Ballarat moves them into third position on the ladder with a percentage of 120%. The Dolphins, well, they're in it to three-quarter time. And... it was 12-7 Frankston to Port Melbourne, 10-6. But five behinds in the final quarter wasn't enough to get the Dolphins home. And Port Melbourne winning 16-9-105, defeating Frankston 12-12-84. We'll speak to Gary Ayres about that result a little bit later on in the program. The broadcast game last weekend on the Saturday afternoon football was Coburg versus Collingwood. And at halftime, the Pies were in front and we had a pretty even contest. But in the second half, the Coburg Tigers really did step up, with Jack Riewoldt kicking four goals in that second half, 7-1 in that third quarter, really did set up the victory there. Riewoldt kicking six led Coburg to win 17-12-114 against the Pies, 12-11-83. And it was a pretty scrappy affair, really. The last quarter saw a collision between Shane Edwards and Sean Rosling, which had... the Collingwood faithful ducking for cover. It looked like he did his collarbone once again, but no, it was just a facial injury. And Jim was telling me yesterday he's out for 6 weeks. So it was a nasty head clash. And when it was the only time when you saw Sean Rosling actually really go hard at the football. He lined up at centre-half back, if you are a Collingwood supporter, and was pretty impressive. In the one side of the fair last weekend, Williamstown, 25 goals, 17-167, defeated the Bendigo Bombers 10-6-66. Was a whitewash there by Williamstown, and Matt Little kicking 6 goals, nearly half the team kicked 2. It was a pretty one-sided affair. I think also in the reserves for that game, it was quite an enormous margin. I don't actually have the results with me.
I think they kicked 32 goals.
Yeah, 33 goals, 23 or something, I think it was. The three
best
goals,
goal kicker
five.
Was 4.
Yeah, it was a really big performance there by the Bendigo side. I mean, sorry, the Williamstown side against the Bendigo Bombers. It was like 45 goals to 13 for the whole day, so it was pretty one-sided. In the broadcast game on the Sunday afternoon, well, the Scorpions were in front at three-quarter time. We're going to need to...
Keep going.
At three-quarter time, it's the Scorpions 8-11 in front of Box Hill 7-8, and the Casey Scorpions didn't fire a shot in the final quarter. The Scorpions going down 10-11, 74, defeating the... going down to the Box Hill Hawks 13-11, 89. And Sam Gibson kicking 4. I was impressed by Bruce's game. He kicked 3. But as we were mentioning just before, it was really the run of the Box Hill Hawks that saw them get over the line in that final quarter against the Casey Scorpions to put them 3 wins for the season. And just sitting in the 8th there with a bit of a logjam happening between 5th and 8th at the moment. And then we've got the Werribee Tigers going down to Sandringham with Nick Sortner kicking 7. Maguire kicking 5 was always too strong. Sandringham 17-11, 113, defeated the Werribee Tigers 12-11, 83.
And you are on 97.73 SERFM.
Simon, I do apologise, and welcome to the Saturday Morning Footy Show.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I thought, do I answer that or not? I might be on the wrong line, but yeah, thanks very much.
Well, we do apologise for that, and it's the first time we'll be watching the Werribee side this weekend, taking on the Bull Ants, who are coming off the bye. And how's the week been for the Werribee Tigers?
Oh, look, we've had a pretty hard couple of days on the training track, obviously with losing 2 on the trot now. Excuse me. yeah, we've just had to refocus a bit of our attention on a couple of our game plans. So we reckon we've really had a good couple of days on the track, yeah.
Well, it's been an interesting start to the season so far. The recruit of Nathan Thompson and made the media reports for arriving late after his Channel 9 commitments, and then going down with the heart complaint, which would have been a bit of a sent a bit of a scare through the Werribee Football Club. But it's been an interesting start. How have you seen Nathan Thompson's experience at the forward line?
Yeah, look, I'd probably clear a couple of things up there. Like the running late to the Williamstown game was. We actually, when we signed Tomo, we sat down and went through all his commitments, and he went through what he could offer us. And that game was actually a 2 o'clock game when we signed up, and it was changed.
Yep.
And then with the conditions, he was a little bit late with the traffic. And with his complaint at the moment that he's had rectified, you know, he's had it for 5 or 6 years. So he started training this week, you know, and it's obviously up to the doctors what he does, but they expect him to be up and going. So. And besides all that, Tomo's been fantastic down at our footy club with, you know, early on he's had an impact on 2 games, but simply his knowledge, and that's the real reason that we saw as a benefit to our footy club, but as a forward line coach, his experience and everything that he's teaching our younger players has been fantastic.
Well, I guess the biggest shock of the pre-season was the fact that Pods Adley left, but you look to really to fill that void with Nathan Thompson, but you also recruited in Marty Pask and Tim Bongietti from Tasmania to really add some depth to that forward line.
Yeah, look, I mean, Pod's left for work reasons, and fantastic that he's now in you know, the workforce that he really wants to strive and make a career out of, and that's fine. You know, if Pod's hadn't come along, we were always looking to strengthen our forward line, and people can say, oh, well, you know, you've got a bloke that kicks 60 or 70 a year, why do that? But we just wanted to have a better functioning forward end, and with that wrap that we got Marty Pass come back to the footy club after a year out of I suppose, mainstream football, and Tim Bongietti, who came back from Tasmania. So really been able to strengthen up the marking options in our forward end.
Well, one thing that I guess... when you look at when you lose your captain is the leadership of the football club, but that's one thing that's been a strong point of, I guess, your coaching is the ability to really develop some leaders down at that football club in Dom Gleeson and the like.
Yeah.
You must be pretty proud of the way those boys have really handled the start of the season.
Yeah, we actually started the program probably 18 months to 2 years ago about really putting systems in place where we could get a real core group of leaders, and not so much as captains, but players that would stand up and really show some good, strong qualities, and we've sort of reaped the benefits from that. Now, Pods was an outstanding captain, but certainly underneath him, we've got a real tier of players that understand what it's all about, and Dom's really stepped to the plate. Robbie Costello assists him really well, and as I said, we've been able to get a couple of young blokes that have been in the footy club to step into the deputy vice-captain's role, so there's really a progression of leaders at the footy club.
Well, the Gleeson and Costello midfield combination has really, I guess, allowed you to bring some of those younger players through the midfield now this year as well.
Yeah, and I mean, that also is, I suppose it's the way I coach. I just need blokes to be able to go through the midfield and fill either forward or back end. So we run with a high amount of so-called midfielders in the 22 each week.
Well, having a look at the lineup here that's been selected against the Northern Bull Ants, there's some definitely some new names representing the Werribee Tigers this year. But how's the development of Banjanin been going again in 2009? He really made some big progress in 2008.
Yeah, he certainly has. I mean, I think we've already played probably five or six first gamers. So Banjo's, look, he's a really a work in progress. What we sort of say is he's good, he's really good. It's just about getting that consistency of the periods where he drops off. I certainly think he's got a hell of a lot of qualities as a young ruckman. He worked on his fitness over the pre-season and got his times and his measurements down. He's really looking to sort of cement his spot. He's, back in the seniors this week. He played last week, so I know he's really looking to consolidate. And with Liam Gardner up and fit this year, he never played a game last year. And we've also recruited young Rand Dixon from Williamstown. We think, our ruck stocks are not too bad.
Well, where do you see you guys sitting now? Obviously, looking at the ladder, you're 2-3 and just sitting out of the 8.
Yeah.
It's such an even competition, though. In 2 or 3 weeks, you can really turn it around and get on a run. Where do you see the Tigers sitting at the moment, Simon?
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. I don't look at the ladder till about round 6 or 7. All I know is that we're 2-3, and that's not really good enough with the football that we've played, and that's the sort of things that we've tried to cover off this week. That we're getting our fair share of the footy, but we're just not using it well enough. So it is such an even competition, I reckon, this year. I mean, I probably say that every year, but I think genuinely this year it is such an even comp, which is fantastic. I reassess around round 8, even to halfway, and just then you start to plot where you can finish and what you've got ahead of you.
Well, Simon, I think, is this your sixth season as head coach of the...
Fifth
season as head coach of the Tigers. You've seen the competition change in so many ways. You mentioned how even the competition is. One thing I've noticed this year is the speed of the game. It seems to have really gone up a couple of notches, and the quick ball movement off the half-back flanks.
Yeah. Look, I continue to say to people that if they haven't seen a game of VFL footy, they should do themselves a favour and go and have a look at it. And I don't think I'm biased or anything like that. The speed and the ball movement and the skills, it just keeps going up year after year. And I think that's got a lot to do with, I suppose, the alignment of AFL footballers. You've got to be seen to be trying to compete with that level. And I just think it's a fantastic brand of football.
You don't look at the ladder, so you'd be taking the Northern Bull Ants on merit. You probably
I know they're 4-1.
They're 4-1. So you've done your research into them. They've been playing some pretty good football, and they've got a bit of a zone going at the moment, making it hard to try and clear the ball out of defensive 50. Have you really had a bit of a look at the way they're going about it?
Yeah, look, I think that's the style of football that the Bull Ants have probably played with the last couple of years, and they've been really refining it and refining it. It's the buzzword, I suppose, at the moment, is rolling zone. And look, you've just got to be patient. We've practiced against it for the last couple of weeks, so I think if we can sort of pull that apart, that'll be one part of the game that we can get ascendancy in. But as we said, all I know is that they're 4-1 and we're 2-3, so I think you have to be a brain surgeon to work out who'd be the favourite.
Well, I know you're busy at work, Simon, so I'll just quickly ask a couple of final questions here. Some of the young boys coming through the Werribee Tigers this year, any names you could throw at us that we could look forward to seeing and making a bit of impact in the rest of the season?
Yeah, look, a couple off the top of my head. Will Martinello is a young boy out of the Bush Rangers who, everyone sort of looked at him, thought he may have been drafted. I really think it's a talent to be able to come to the VFL and play round one, which he has.
Yep.
He offers a lot down forward, his ability to go on ball. And the other one I suppose I'd chuck up would be Stephen Kennedy, who's out of the Western Jets, has a fair bit of ability. They're both similar, but they can play in different positions. So they're probably the two at the moment that I'd sort of say. But as I said, we've got four or five others that have played their first game. And again, just coming off last year where we, you know, everyone said, oh, we played above our weight. The experience we've gained from last year, I expect that to sort of push through. And, you know, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, as you said, that by around 7 or 8, I'm looking at the ladder. So.
Well, yeah, that's right. The Werribee Tigers finished fourth, and I personally didn't think you were playing out of your weight. You played some really good team-orientated football towards the end of the season. Now, with Podsy Adley going, the team is really starting to form that nucleus once again. You've mentioned finals. That is obviously a goal for you to finish off in the top eight this year.
Oh, absolutely. I think you've got to strive for that. Everyone wants to win the grand final. I think you'd be a bit of a...
You're wasting your time. Yeah, exactly.
But, and it's a throwaway, not a throwaway line, I stick by, you make the finals and then you reassess what you can do from there. But it certainly is to make the finals, to get enough games under your belt. Doesn't matter what position you finish in the finals, and then go from there.
Well, Simon, thank you so much for giving up your time here on the Saturday morning. And you might as well give your company a bit of a plug while you can.
Yeah, I'm just actually... I work for Williamstown Crane Hire. Crane business that works all through the CBD. And, I'm just down on the banks of the Maribyrnong doing a... lifting a tank. That's the business that I do. And, look, my boss is really good that he enables me to give me enough time to coach the Werribee Football Club.
Well, Simon, thank you so much for your kind time again this morning. It's always a great chat with you. And good luck this weekend against the Northern Bullants.
Thanks very much.
Simon Atkins there joining us on KC Radio 97.7 FM.
And you are on 97.73 SERFM. It's the Saturday morning VFL footy show. And in 10 minutes, we'll speak to Gary Ayres from the...
You sure?
From the bar.
You sure?
Well, if he answers his phone, he'll be there.
We won't go back. Well, we'll have a talk up here for sure. Before we go through round 7, I've got some of the final changes here in the AFL lineups, which can sometimes make it a bit easier when looking into your VFL records at this weekend. Stuart Jew's been dropped from the Hawthorn footy side, so they've also left out Travis Tuck. So Bo Mustin will definitely get a starting run for his first time since 2005, and Cameron Stokes returns to the Hawthorn senior lineup. Melbourne have made four changes, recalling Rivers, Green, Frawley, and Jamie Bennell. Lyndon Dunn, Valenti, Bartram, and Kyle Chaney will all be playing in the VFL for KC Scorpions this weekend. Won't worry about Sydney. If you need to know, Nick Malcheski and has come in for Brett Meredith there. Port Adelaide have made three changes, recalling Salopek, Marlon Motlop, and Matthew Westhoff. And being rested this weekend is Nathan Cracker, Jason Davenport, and David Roden. St Kilda have lost Jason Graham to a thigh injury, and Raph Clark will come in, which means McAvoy and
Eddie
will be playing for...
Yep. And Matt Maguire's still missing.
He is missing. I don't know what he needs to do. And
I reckon he must be the best player in the VFL at the moment.
As we mentioned, former Tasmanian VFL player Aaron Cornelius, who made an impact in 2008, will join Robin Nahas and Jason Davenport as former VFL players to make their debut in season 2009, so we wish him pretty well. And also Bo Mustin, because he's spent so much time playing for the Box Hill Hawks. That's the first game of round 7. It is the Box Hill Hawks versus Frankston. Frankston have been getting close the last 2 weeks without quite getting over the line against both Port Melbourne and Williamstown, which you'd say is a pretty good form line. But when you see them at 0-6, it makes it pretty hard to really have any faith in the Frankston football side this weekend, Jim, in the ABC game, Eastlink Cup, gold coin donation only. Can you see any major upsets there by the Dolphins? I tipped them last week and they're...
Not a hope in hell.
Okay, we'll just move on then.
Well, 0-6 doesn't conjure up any faith in the Frankston Football Club at the moment. They played a very good game against Williamstown, as we know. And Box Hill have been inconsistent at best this year. And having Stuart Dew in the side is going to be a big plus to them. And they should Box Hill should win comfortably.
Well, he's got a bigger body than most of these VFL opponents this afternoon, yep. Stewie Jew. So,
Travis Tuck he'll run around and get his 30 or 40 positions.
He'd need to, because Bo Musson could hit the ground running this Sunday night against the Melbourne footy side. And our broadcast game, well, you couldn't get a bigger game to really look at in season 2009. It's mouthwatering. It's Williamstown versus Port Melbourne. Lily said it's delicious, Jimbo. It's mouthwatering stuff. Williamstown currently sitting on top of the ladder. Port Melbourne sitting in fourth on percentage. Williamstown yet to have a loss this year. And every time they've been challenged, they've managed to find what's required to get their victory. A bit like a Geelong footy team, aren't they? Getting over the line last night. Can Williamstown, with the support of the Western Bulldogs, keep their winning season going, Jim?
I think they should. Port Melbourne have won the last two encounters between these two teams. Obviously, in the preliminary final last year, Port Melbourne won by 21 points, sorry. And, they won the previous encounter last year in against these two teams. So, in my mind, really, Williamstown should win at home. Although a local derby, they're only across the bridge. And
traditional rivals. There's no bigger rivals in the VFL than Williamstown and Port Melbourne. It starts at the top.
Yeah, there's only a bridge that separates them.
Well, the presidents don't like each other.
Don't they?
Trevor Monty and...
Didn't they have the dog incident?
Yeah, that's them. Sultry and Monty. Yeah. So.
And they had the only time we've been to Williamstown, myself, that is, they had a dog show on the ground.
That's right.
Making mockery out of the president of the Port Melbourne Football Club.
Peter Sultry, who didn't want
The Williamstown president's dog at Port Melbourne or something like that. I don't know the real details, but it was a bit of a byplay there.
See, David Pitt's name's been named in a long list of interchange players there for the borough, so it'd be good if he can find a spot in the final 22. Williamstown just continue to really impress. They're actually favourites. We've got a VFL Premiership update. We'll go through that as well. We should try and get some sponsorship through Sportsbet. They throw their money at everywhere. They could come and jump on board of Casey Radio, that's for sure. Williamstown coming off a 101-point victory against Bendigo last weekend. So
yeah, you can't put a form line on that one.
So you can't ask
Not at
for,
the moment.
Well, I mean, to be 5-0.
Yeah. Oh, you can put a form line on that one. But the 101-point win last week is probably a little bit of a form. It's not a form guide.
Well, when Port Melbourne have been challenged, like against North Ballarat, they came out and really put on a performance. Williamstown at times against Frankston, the last time I saw them, you know, left themselves open to the jaws of defeat, really, and Frankston just couldn't get over the line in that last quarter. So if Bonadio plays well on the forward line and they've got the two big DeLuca boys down there as well. So, plenty of height. And, I think Port Melbourne are a genuine chance. Hopefully, we get really good conditions. Hopefully, Bryce can bring in a weather forecast for us because we need good conditions out there. We're calling out in the open of Williamstown.
21 degrees, 35 knot winds, which is a little bit of a worry with our microphones outside.
Now, Sportsbet.com.au have opened a VFL Premiership market, and they have Williamstown at favourites at $2.80. Port Melbourne are third favourites at $4.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go through the list of them at the end of the round 7 preview if we get a chance in between. Gary Ayres and Adrian Dunn joining us on the Saturday morning VFL footy show, round 7 edition. And Williamstown $2.80, Port Melbourne $4. That's pretty even.
Yep, Werribee Tigers versus Northern Bullets. Northern Bullets playing away against the Werribee
Tigers.
Games.
There's only two games of Saturday afternoon football for the VFL this weekend, so we're looking at the Sunday matches now, Jim.
That's right, Werribee Tigers versus Northern Bullets.
Our broadcast game live from 1 o'clock.
Yep, Werribee Tigers have won two this season. Northern Bullets have been very successful, very impressive in most of their wins. They're 4-1. They lost to... They lost to Box Hill, unfortunately.
Box Hill's first win.
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry, that one. Box Hill haven't been impressive this year, apart from that win against the Bull Ants. And they were successful last week, so their form is so up and down, it's not funny. So you can draw a line through Box Hill's form. But the Melbourne Bull Ants, they've been very successful, very impressive in the games we've seen them play. Most of the Carlton contingency have been playing exceptionally good football.
I always get a little bit more convinced after having a chat to the coaches, and Simon Atkins seemed to have got some ideas about how to handle this rolling zone, and I think if they can beat the zone, the Bull Ants can leave themselves exposed on the counter-attack. So, be interesting game of footy, that one. Definitely tomorrow afternoon. Tune in on 97.7 FM or 3ser.org.au. Click on the link at vflfooty.com. I think that covers all the avenues to listening to our broadcast. And the weather forecast has been delivered, and that's an updated one from the Bureau of Meteorology. Jimbo,
It's been changed. 22 maximum today. Sunny with
wind?
35 kilometres per hour.
From the northeasterly,
so it should be a nice warm day today out in the open for us commentators or us the commentary team.
Round 7 was supposed to be the unveiling of Eureka Stadium. It's been put off to later on in the season, so they're playing this game at Eastern Oval. It's the Roosters versus the Casey Scorpions. The Scorpions are traditionally not a good travelling side, and the Roosters are just starting to get things together in season 2009, I think. So they were too strong for Geelong as the curtain raiser last weekend. Back up there in North Ballarat, looking to continue their good form, I'm sure.
Yeah, North Ballarat have been very impressive this season. Against Collingwood, they got out of jail free. They got out of jail free card and played it very well. They were challenged throughout the day, and they hung on to win. So that's good form. And Collingwood have been okay this year. Casey Scorpions, they've been up and down like yo-yos. They were a bit unfortunate against Box Hill last week.
It's going to be a different Casey Scorpions lineup because Melbourne have included Rivers, Green, Frawley and Bennell. Those four players didn't play in the VFL last weekend. Lyndon Dunn, Valenti, Bartram and Chaney are all fit. So yep. Those four players will come back and play in the Casey Scorpions lineup tomorrow. So that's four pretty experienced and fit players playing back in the competition. Lyndon Dunn could play forward. Valenti, Bartram and Chaney are all defensive sort of midfielders, so they could really put the clamps on some of their Roosters opponents tomorrow, and you'd have to say the Casey Scorpions lineup would be a lot stronger for those four players being available.
We'd hope so with those four players coming in. And as you said, the four players coming into the Melbourne or going into the Melbourne side didn't play last week.
No.
So what happened to Jared Rivers? A couple of weeks ago he died. He was having convulsions on the stretcher by taking off, and then 2 weeks later he's playing without any problems.
I know. Well, it's quite easy to have a joke of someone being emotional on the field. I think it's a pretty low act by yourself, Mr. Hines, by bringing up that sort of comments about Jared Rivers. Like, I mean, you have to understand that he was the former NAB Rising Star. He spent two seasons on the sidelines with injuries. To go down with what he felt like was a serious ankle injury would be rather distressing. It could have been the end of his football career. It could have been the end of his bread and butter.
Yeah, but a week and a half later, he's back.
Well, that's just one of those things that's happened. Yep. Lucky for the Melbourne Football Club, or lucky for Jared Rivers that his ankle wasn't as bad as Thurst thought. His career can go on, and he's been playing some good footy. So.
Now, I'll remind you of a story called The Boy That Cried Wolf.
No. It's not the boy who cried wolf.
If he does it again, probably the trainers will probably just run past him and give the water bottle to a player standing 20 metres away.
It's a boy who cried when he thought his career was over.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the boy who cried wolf can,
moving on, we don't
cause
have
problems.
Bendigo Bombers versus Coburg. And it's at Queen Elizabeth Oval. The Bendigo Bombers got shellacked last weekend. Coburg weren't that impressive, but did enough to beat the Pies. With the turmoil at the Richmond Football Club, a couple of the players been mentioned through the week who will be playing in the VFL, notably the ordinary back pocket and Jay King. How dare Gary Lyon label a footballer like that? I mean, you can be angry about what's happened and have an opinion about it, but to get personal about Jay King going in with Chris Newman, if that's the case, to have a chat to Terry Wallace about his future endeavours, I mean, that's not for Gary Lyon to be making any comments like that about a footballer to call him ordinary. Jay King plays the game aggressively and gets the best out of his body and his abilities to play at the highest level possible.
Yep.
And has had a bit of an impact when he's played at Richmond senior level. Can't keep his spot because Richmond have a good group of those similar sort of players. I mean, they've got about probably 13 midfielders all at that same level, as the same as Jay King, and he's at the back end of that. But on national television, there's no need to get as personal as Gary Lyon did. Being a Melbourne supporter here, Gary Lyon didn't do the best thing by the football club towards the end of his career. There's some parts in his career that, you know, just because he's...
skeletons in the closet.
Just because he's got, you know, because he's got the right to sit there as host of the biggest football show in Australia and start pot-shotting blokes. I just think Gary Lyon should pull his head in a little bit and not have such a strong opinion on issues that don't affect him personally. Like, he can have an opinion on the Terry Wallace situation, but his mate that he was sticking up for, Craig Hutchison, is a parasite. That thing he did on Thursday night just brought the drama even further into farcical status.
Yeah, it's Keystone Cops.
Wow, it's every football journalist in Melbourne trying to get their name on the biggest headline of the year,
yep.
And they go with stories that aren't true. I mean, Terry Wallace could sue the Herald Sun for some of the articles that have been written about him this year.
Yep.
I
hope he does.
Well, he should.
He probably won't. He's probably got more scruples than that.
Well,
he's above that sort of thing.
You know, we watch a lot of European football, and they have, you know, major articles that are just fraudulent that get published, but they're dealing with media on a different cycle over there. But some of the stuff that was written at the start of the week by Herald Sun journalists and people jumping on SEN and everything like that was disgraceful and made a situation that was bad even worse.
Yep.
And hopefully the Richmond Football Club can rebuild and Coburg unaffected and they can continue their march in 2009.
Yep.
Can you see Bendigo Bombers beating them this week with the return of Mark McVeigh through the VFL?
I'm pretty certain Coburg should win.
Well,
yeah.
You're pretty certain. Well, I'm actually going to tip the Bendigo Bombers to have their first win of the season. And we're against Coburg. The reason for this, I'm not crazy. They've got some really good players in that VFL lineup. Hurley was in good form last weekend. Danny Myers comes back to add some depth to that back line. You've got Brent Prismal, Danaher in the forward line, Scott Lucas, Laycock, McVeigh. You know, that's... I know I'm just looking at the Essendon talent there. There's definitely some Bendigo Bombers still playing well. Flaherty's getting a run, and Redpath and Majan coming through. Skipworth is actually listed to play for Bendigo this weekend, so that's a pretty strong lineup Bendigo will have there. And I think they'll knock over the Coburg Tigers, who didn't really impress me that much last weekend. I was really to say one player that did battle hard in the ruck was Tyrone Vickery. Jeez, he's going to be a good player when he gets his body up and his fitness level up to AFL. Yep. He does things that big men can't do.
I reckon he would be playing today if he wasn't injured early in the season.
Sandringham versus Geelong is the last game for round 7, Sunday afternoon football at Sandringham. It's the only game that doesn't have coverage this weekend, I don't think.
Sandringham should win. I can't see Geelong winning, although they did win last week with Pods kicking.
No, they didn't.
When did they win?
They won the week before that. They went down last weekend to North Ballarat.
Sorry, my mistake.
But Sortner, he's in fine form. Kicked 7 goals last weekend. Maguire kicked 5. He's listed the lineup at centre-half back, but has been playing some time as a power forward. Be too strong for the Geelong young defence there. Injury's really starting to take a toll on the Geelong VFL side. They currently sit third last with 1 win and 4 losses. And I think they'll be facing defeat this weekend at Sandringham.